Once again, I'll remind people that you're listening to KTAL LP 101.5 FM in Las Cruces. And for the next 16 minutes or so, we're going to hear an interview that Peter Goodman did with Senator Ben Ray Lujan. That will start right now.
Good morning, Senator Lujan.
Thank you for coming in.
We have just a moment, so anything you want to tell us will be helpful. But an intriguing question is, every day we see something we grew up not even imagining, like government agents killing Renee Good and saying that's fine and refusing even to let law enforcement investigate, or invading a country without Congress declaring war, and even threatening to invade NATO countries, or punish a war hero and an astronaut for saying what's on signs at military bases, or renaming the Kennedy Center and choking it to death. And the Republicans, who went to the same churches and read the same history books you did, just wave and smile like robots. So you know, because you and other senators have told me, that the Republicans don't all like what's going on. So just what do they fear? Is it getting primaried or losing wealthy donors or their families being in physical danger if the president calls them traitors? Or that he'll start a spurious criminal investigation? What is it that they fear, and how can we free them from that?
Well, Peter, that's such an important question. And, well, I don't know what motivates each of my Republican Senate colleagues. What I do know is that very few of them, if any, have had the courage to speak up to Donald Trump, the president of the United States, when Republican senators know that what he is doing is wrong. Now, the few exceptions have come most recently in that when a war powers piece of legislation was put on the floor, four Republican colleagues actually voted with Democrats, or I believe it was five, to say, no, Mr. President, you are stepping out of bounds. If you're going to declare war anywhere, you need to come to the legislative branch of government as required by the Constitution of the United States of America. But in the same vein, two of those five Republican senators had a chance to stay strong, to hold the president accountable, and then they changed their mind overnight is what happened, Peter.
Yeah, what did they do to lean on Young and Hawley?
Well, the president himself was calling every Republican senator personally to yell at them and call them traitors. And then on his social media feeds, President Donald Trump said that every one of them should be defeated, should lose their seats, should be taken out, I believe were the words that he was using. So, you know, you can look into that however you would extrapolate that. But those were threats coming directly from the president of the United States. And at least two of my colleagues changed their votes. Now, as it pertains to Greenland, another place that President Trump has said that he would take military action to go and invade and take it over and challenge allies and even go to war with allies, at least one of my Republican colleagues, who is now retiring from the Senate, Tom Tillis of North Carolina, has said he will do everything he can to stop the president from using military action against Greenland. Now, the proof will be if there's any action taken on the Senate, but we've not seen it yet. And so one action after another is creating questions with how this administration is ignoring the Constitution, is ignoring the rule of law, and still ignoring rulings that have come out of federal courts, including the U.S. Supreme Court, and says he's going to go it his way one way or the other, but he's going to do it his way. And so it's one concern after another with what we see happening, whether it's the Kennedy Center or it's declaring war on another country. This president has just said he really doesn't care. He's going to do things that he wants to do.
What can we do other than scream and yell? Anything?
Well, the American people, we all need to come together, whether American citizens that voted for this president or voted against this president. We have a responsibility as citizens to uphold the Constitution, to lift up our democracy, to protect this republic, this very young nation of ours. We're a nation of laws. We have checks and balances in the United States. It doesn't matter who an individual is, whether it's a county commissioner or it's a CEO or it's the president of the United States. None of us can violate the laws of the United States. And therefore, every so often we have elections in America, and we need to be active. We need to show up. We need to use our voices. If we're going to protest, we need to protest peacefully. But we all have to come together in each and every one of these instances. And I say all of that, Peter, as there's a case before the United States Supreme Court that is being advocated for by President Trump himself and the executive branch of government to undo many aspects of the Voting Rights Act, which would allow for which would allow the president of the United States and the executive branch to stop people from voting or making it harder for people to vote, as opposed to encouraging more people in America to get to the polls. And so I'm very concerned with some of the threats that have come from the president of the United States pointing to the elections in 2026. This president has been asking for states to gerrymander and to, I would argue, violate some rules. And this president has been advocating for the gutting of the Voting Rights Act before the United States Supreme Court. So the president's saying out loud what most people might have kept quiet before, but he's just being clear to the American people. He's going to cheat and lie in order to preserve power. That's what's going on here, and that's a concern. And whether I meet with Republicans, conservative friends, Democrats, whether they're moderate or they're progressive, they're liberal, libertarians, I've not met anyone that says that this what the president is describing should be allowed in the United States of America. So we all have responsibilities to do our part to stand strong, but especially to make sure that we're involved in our country, in our democracy, with all of the civil responsibilities that we have all across America, including all parts of New Mexico.
What's looking at what's going on in Minneapolis and elsewhere, one gets the sense that somebody is trying to prepare us for having federal forces active suppressing protests in our cities. Do you think there's a possibility that we'll see him declare martial law at some point if he doesn't like how the election's looking?
President Trump, since he was elected, has threatened martial law in one community after another. Looking at actions that were taken by the executive branch of government that President Trump was advocating for in Los Angeles, many observers at the time suggested that was to incite more violence to provide a path forward for the president to declare martial law. There were court challenges. The courts ruled and said what the president was doing was unlawful. Then this occurred in Portland. This occurred in Chicago, Illinois. And now it's happening in Minnesota. And the president, again, it's been reported that the president was very close to declaring martial law, and that there were some people on his team that said, "Mr. President, you cannot do that." So I don't know what this president is going to do. All I know is what's been reported, since I've not been invited to any of those meetings in the Oval Office. But what's been reported should concern all of us with what this president has been threatening and suggesting.
Let me ask you briefly about specifically the fatal shooting of Rene Good. Anybody looking at it can see that even if one accepted the excuse for the first shot that, oh, I thought she was going to hit me with her car, by the second and third car shots, the shooter is standing to the side of the vehicle, looking right at her. She's looking no right threat, and yelling horrible things at her and shooting two more bullets into her. That can't be self-defense. On the other hand, the feds are not allowing Minnesota law enforcement to investigate, which is not uncommon, I guess, with federal officials. But in this situation, where the officers, the federal folks in control, including Trump and Noam, have said, yeah, there's nothing wrong with this shoot, what can the Senate do to trigger a real investigation?
Well, first off, Peter, when I looked at these videos, it was not apparent to me what the Trump administration was selling to the American people. Now, with that being said, that's reason why there needs to be a thorough investigation into looking at this and getting the information. Now, what was reported early on was that the federal government would cooperate and work with law enforcement from Minnesota. And then all of a sudden, from one minute to the next, the administration changed position and posture and said local law enforcement would not be included in these investigations. Now, Congress has an oversight responsibility, again, checks and balances as prescribed in the United States Constitution, of the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judiciary branch being fully independent from one another. And therefore, the checks and balances that is one of the important tools of the preservation of our democracy in America. The legislative branch of government has direct oversight responsibilities in both the United States Senate and the United States House of Representatives. Now, with my Republican colleagues in the majorities in both chambers, there has been zero oversight, investigation, hearings into any actions taken by this administration. And that's shows the lack of the lack of responsibility that exists in the current leadership in the Congress. Regardless of who the president is, whatever party it is, whenever there's a concern or any action taken, there should be oversight. And right now, Republicans in the Senate and in the House refuse to conduct any. And I'm hopeful that the questions that need to be asked will be asked and need to be preserved, such that when the Democrats are in the majority in the United States House of Representatives, and we'll see what happens after the 2026 elections, including in the U.S. Senate, that these questions are asked and that there's honest answers to the American people, because that's what the American people want. They want honest responses. They want everyone to be looked at. They do not want to see people breaking the law. They want us all following the law. So I'm certainly hopeful that we'll see that occur here in the near future. But I'm very concerned with the lack of oversight that's currently occurring in the legislative branch of government.
Do you think, do you see any chance that this Renee Good shooting is going to be shocking enough to individual consciences to where people in people who are represented by Republican Congress folk and senators will force them to take some oversight?
So, Peter, in response to that, what's been reported here in Washington, D.C., while my Republican colleagues in the House and the Senate will not speak on the record, if you will, offering their names behind their responses to journalists, what has been reported is that members of Congress have told journalists, without their names being included in these articles, that they are very concerned at the actions taken by Secretary Noem over this shooting in Minnesota, Ms. Good. So I'm certainly hopeful that given the opportunity that my Republican colleagues who choose not to offer their names in these articles and quotes will actually have the courage to stand strong, stand behind their words, and ask these questions. If there's nothing to hide, there should be no reason not to have these oversight hearings. Offer the American people the truth, pull back the veils that are hiding whatever the information is, and not allowing these investigations to go forward. That's what should be happening. And so that gives me a little optimism that my Republican colleagues and Democratic colleagues, everyone will do the right thing here, have these hearings and get the honest answers to the American people.
I know you have votes today and other things you need to get to. So let me just ask you as a final question, what else you want to tell our listeners this morning? And thank you again for talking with us.
Well, first, Peter, to all the listeners, I want to say thank you to them for being involved, for engaging, for using their voices and their thoughtfulness to hold everyone accountable. Regardless of party, that's not what this is about. What we need is a strong country, a strong community. We need to hold everyone accountable, especially elected leaders, especially elected officials as well. And please stay involved, stay engaged. Do not allow one person or another discourage you from being involved and being active. As a matter of fact, when we hear elected leaders especially discourage people from being involved, that's when it's most important to stay involved and to be aware. So I would just say to all the listeners, stay strong, stay safe, stay active, stay involved. And look forward to hearing from you, and I hope seeing you in all of our communities here in the near future.
Thank you, sir, and look forward to seeing you when you get a chance to come back and buy some more vinyl from us.
Amen, Peter. I look forward to being with you soon, and not just purchasing some vinyl, but maybe we can listen to some together. The vinyl collection that you all have is absolutely incredible. Some of the best music that I've seen on vinyl that actually exists. I've heard rumors about some of these albums being out there in existence, but when I had a chance to visit the station, I actually got to see them. So just kudos to the station and to everyone there involved in that incredible vinyl collection.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.